Hello and welcome to your GCSE Drama Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most exciting and rewarding topics on your Component 1 paper, understanding drama. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need. We'll cover core concepts, exam technique, common mistakes, and I'll even throw in a quickfire quiz at the end. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with why this topic matters. Component 1, the written exam, asks you to demonstrate that you understand how theatre works, not just as an audience member, but as someone who thinks like a theatre maker. Examiners are looking for candidates who can use precise drama terminology, who understand the roles of everyone involved in a production, and who can analyse how meaning is communicated to an audience. That's the heart of it, meaning. Every choice a director, designer, or performer makes is in service of communicating meaning. Keep that word in your head throughout this episode. Now, let's talk about the characteristics of performance texts. A play script is not a novel. It's a blueprint, a set of instructions for performance. When you read a script, you need to think about genre, which might be tragedy, comedy, or physical theatre. You need to think about structure. Is it linear, episodic, or circular? Think about character, form, style, and language. But here's the thing that trips up so many candidates: subtext. Subtext is what a character means but doesn't say directly. It's the tension beneath the words. When a character says, "I'm fine," but their body language tells a completely different story, that's subtext at work. Examiners absolutely love it when candidates discuss subtext because it shows sophisticated thinking. Stage directions are another key feature of performance texts. They tell us about motivation, why a character does something, and about mood, rhythm, and climax. A playwright who writes, "She pauses, then slowly turns," is giving the performer and director crucial information about the emotional weight of that moment. Always read stage directions carefully, and think about their practical demands on the production. Right, let's move on to social, cultural, and historical context. This is where so many candidates lose marks. Not because they don't know the context, but because they don't connect it to the performance. Context isn't a separate paragraph you bolt on at the end. It needs to be woven into your analysis. Ask yourself, when was this play written, and what was happening in society at that time? What theatrical conventions were popular in that period? How does the original context shape the choices a modern director might make? For example, a play written in the 1950s might reflect very different gender dynamics to a contemporary production, and a director might choose to highlight or challenge those dynamics through design and performance choices. Now, let's get into staging configurations, and this is a topic that comes up time and again in the exam, so you really do need to know these cold. There are four main configurations. First, the proscenium arch. This is the traditional stage you probably picture when you think of a theatre. A frame around the stage, audience sitting in front. It creates a clear separation between performers and audience, which can feel formal or even distant. It's great for spectacle and for creating a fourth wall effect. Second, thrust staging. Here, the stage extends out into the audience, with seating on three sides. This brings performers much closer to the audience, creating intimacy and energy. It's harder to hide scene changes, so productions using thrust staging often embrace visible transitions as part of the aesthetic. Third, and this is a favourite exam question, theatre in the round. The audience completely surrounds the stage. There is no hiding place for the performer. Every angle is visible, which creates incredible intimacy and a real sense that the audience is part of the world of the play. The challenge? Sight lines. A performer facing one section of the audience has their back to another. Blocking, that's the term for the planned movement of performers, becomes really complex. And fourth, traverse staging. The stage runs like a corridor between two banks of audience seating. Think of it like a catwalk. It creates a very dynamic, almost confrontational relationship between performers and audience, and it's particularly effective for plays that explore journeys or transitions.
Now, design elements. This is a huge area, and one where candidates can really show off their knowledge. Let's run through the key ones. Set design creates the physical environment of the play. It establishes time, place, and atmosphere. A minimalist set with just a chair and a single light can be just as powerful as an elaborate, realistic set, but for completely different reasons. Costume design communicates character, status, period, and personality, sometimes before a single word is spoken. And don't forget hair and makeup, which are part of costume design in your specification. Lighting design is one of the most versatile tools in the theatre maker's kit. A single spotlight can isolate a character, create focus, and generate enormous emotional impact. Colour in lighting can shift mood instantly. Cool blue for sadness or isolation, warm amber for comfort and nostalgia. Think about intensity, direction, and colour when you're discussing lighting. Sound design encompasses both live and recorded sound. It can establish location, birdsong for an outdoor scene, traffic noise for a city, but it can also work on a much more subliminal level, building tension through a low drone or creating joy through upbeat music. Always ask, what is the sound communicating to the audience? Let's talk about performer skills, because this is another area where precise terminology earns marks. Vocal skills include accent, which can indicate character background and social status. Pitch, how high or low the voice is, can communicate emotion and power. Pace refers to how quickly or slowly a performer speaks, and it's incredibly expressive. A character who speaks very slowly might seem threatening or exhausted or deeply sad. Tone, volume, and pause are also key vocal skills. Physical skills include movement, posture, gesture, facial expression, and use of space. A character who takes up a lot of space, wide stance, expansive gestures, is communicating confidence or dominance. A character who makes themselves small is communicating vulnerability or fear. These are the kinds of observations that get candidates into the top mark bands. Now for theatre roles and responsibilities, and this is something candidates often underestimate. The playwright creates the script, establishing the story, characters, and dialogue. The director interprets the script and shapes the overall creative vision, working with all departments to ensure coherence. Performers bring characters to life through vocal and physical skills. Designers, set, costume, lighting, and sound, create the visual and auditory world of the play. And the stage manager coordinates the day-to-day running of rehearsals and performances, ensuring everything runs smoothly. In the exam, you might be asked about the specific responsibilities of any of these roles, so make sure you can describe their day-to-day activities in detail. Right. Exam tips and common mistakes. Tip number one. Always use precise terminology. Don't say the actor walked slowly. Say the performer used a slow, deliberate pace to convey the character's reluctance. The difference in marks is significant. Tip number two. Always link design and performance choices back to meaning and audience impact. Why did the lighting designer choose a red wash at that moment? What effect does it have on the audience? Tip number three. When discussing staging configurations, always consider the implications for the relationship between performer and audience. That's what examiners are looking for. Common mistake number one. Candidates describe what happens rather than analysing how meaning is created. Description gets you into the lower mark bands. Analysis gets you to the top. Common mistake number two, forgetting to consider the audience's perspective. Theatre is a live event. The audience is part of the equation. Always ask, how would an audience respond to this choice and why? Common mistake number three, using vague language. The costume was nice, tells an examiner nothing. The costume designer's use of muted grey tones suggested the character's emotional numbness and social invisibility. Now that's an answer. Quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one. What What is subtext? Subtext is the underlying meaning or emotion that a character communicates without saying directly. It's what lies beneath the spoken words. Question 2. Name the 4 main staging configurations. Proscenium arch, thrust, theatre in the round, and traverse. Question 3. What is the role of the stage manager? The stage manager coordinates rehearsals and performances, manages props and technical cues, and ensures the production runs smoothly. Question 4. Name 3 vocal skills a performer might use. Accent, pitch, pace, tone, volume, and pause. Any 3 of those. Question 5. What does blocking refer to? Blocking is the planned movement and positioning of performers on stage. And finally, let's wrap up. The key to doing well on understanding drama is thinking like a theatre maker. Every choice, from the colour of a costume to the configuration of the stage, is a deliberate decision made to communicate meaning to an audience. When you write in the exam, show the examiner that you understand this. Use precise terminology, link choices to effect, and always keep the audience in mind. Remember the mnemonic SCDP. Staging, context, design, performance, as your 4 pillars for any analysis question. If you can address all 4, you're well on your way to a top band response. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. You've absolutely got this. Keep revising, keep thinking like a theatre maker, and I'll see you in the next episode.